Hey guys.
I see my bunny is still standing. All enjoying it.
Too wicked.
Minute, please. My laptop is. Oh, there it is. Thank you. So, welcome back at the functional design meeting. The plan is that each one of you, so not me, but only you, will present the things you worked on the last half hour. I will take minutes and will put the minutes that I have at the end of the session in the shared folder. Also, the minutes of the previous session are also in the shared folder now, so you can read that now or afterwards. I had an email from the management board. I don't know if you all also received it, but there were 4 points which I think are very important. First one is they think that teletext becomes outdated and internet will be the main focus. Second one is also important because it's one of the discussion points of the previous session. The remote control should only be used for the television, so it's not going to be a multi-purpose remote control. That's one thing to keep in mind. Second, and I think that's important for the marketing expert, the current customers are in the age group of 40 years and older, but with this new remote, they would like to reach a group younger than 40. A thing to keep in mind, but not really for now, is that they want the slogan and the logo to be recognizable in the remote. So we have 40 minutes, so I think not more than 10 minutes per presentation each. And please use all the facilities that you have, either smart boards, the word files, whatever you want. So, Tim, can you start?
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay, welcome. I have some new findings on marketing expert level, which I will show you. The method I used was giving orders to our usability lab to do a questionnaire. 100 respondents were involved. And my marketing department generated a report with a lot of results. These were a couple of findings. First page of three. We have three audiences, of two audiences, I'm sorry. The first one, this scale from 16 to 45 years in age. The second one is from 64, 46 to 65. As you can see here, the market share for the first audience is about 60%, 65. Second audience is 35%. And some interests from the age groups. It seems like the young users of remote controls really like the fancy new technology stuff, like an LCD screen on the remote control, speech recognition. I don't think that's really appropriate. And when you see the audience, the age is going up, yeah, they don't really want it anymore, at least the new technologies. Second findings out of the questionnaire are the opinions of the audience about current remote controls. First point is 75% of the users find the most remote controls very ugly, and 80% of the users would spend more money when a remote control would look fancy. So that's maybe something for the user interface designer. Okay, third findings. According to a frequency of use versus importance investigation, following buttons are most important. I will tell something about the way this this test was done. Persons were asked what the buttons were they used most, how much an hour, and in the second table the importance of those buttons. When you multiply them, you get these 3 points. Switching channels, yeah, that's pretty pretty normal. That's what you do with a remote control. The second, teletext, and the third, volume controls. I think it's good that we know what the user wants. At least these 3 points have to be very clear.
The management board said that the teletext will be outdated by the internet.
Yeah, okay.
That's strange.
Yeah, okay, but at the moment, teletext is the best thing you can get on TV,
yeah.
Like getting information. So when you ask people what do they use, they use teletext and not internet on a remote control.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's a it's a new technology, but it's not incorporated right now. Okay, my personal preferences. I think we should aim at the audience from 16 to 45. First of all, it's the biggest share, the biggest audience, 65%. Second, I think you will get the most revenue from it. Yeah, people from 16 to 45 watch a lot of TV, more than people who are elder. Second point, we have to improve the most used functions. As I said here, switching channels, teletext and volume controls. Third point, that came out of the questionnaire. People used to get lost of the remote controller. So maybe it's an idea for us to design a kind of placeholder on side of the of the TV where you can put the remote control in. That's about it, I think. Yeah. Not the functions, but it came out that a lot of buttons weren't even used on a remote control. So you can have a remote control full of buttons, hundreds of buttons, but if you don't use them, yeah, it's they have to be on it just to get it done if necessary, but the most used buttons have to be bigger or. Yeah, perhaps. Just for the minor functions, perhaps.
Yeah.
Just to get less buttons on the remote control to make it easier and quicker to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's it.
I dissected current remote controls and I viewed how they looked, how they worked, what kind of components are involved, and how they're connected together. And after that, I put up a scheme about how these things are organized. And I'll show it to you in a few seconds. And I'll explain a bit about how it works and how we could build one, and why I think several possibilities that we discussed in an earlier meeting falls off. Right. Well, what I did was I checked the remote controls, and the remote controls of today are all infrared, like you all probably know. And the thing about that is the remote controls have to access the TV or the stereo or something, and those have a transmitter that's also focused on infrared. So if we want to build a remote control with Bluetooth, for instance, then the TV should have Bluetooth too in order to communicate. So that would mean extra cost for the user, and thus that wouldn't mean a cheap remote control for us. So that's probably why most controls are still infrared. Furthermore, they all have a very simple structure, so that would probably mean lower costs, and that could mean for us a good thing, because well, we should be able to build a relatively cheap remote. Well, as I mentioned, radio waves and Bluetooth, well, it may be possible, but I figure it wouldn't be possible within our budget, but that's not for me to decide, but that's maybe something for marketing to look into. Because well, my personal opinion is not to do Bluetooth or radio waves, although.
What do you think about incorporating Bluetooth or radio receiver in the place or next to the TV, connected to the TV?
Yeah, actually.
So it's in our own product.
Yeah, I actually figured that would be rather nice. But then you still have the infrared function.
So yeah.
In theory, you do actually just move the problem.
Yeah.
But what I did think about was when you mentioned about the cup holder, is why not introduce a speech function like, where is the remote? If somebody says, where's the remote? And it goes beep or something. I don't know. Maybe maybe something to look into. I don't know what the cost of that, something like that would be. But it may be something to explore. I'll just explain a bit of the components. First, you have the energy source. The energy source would be a battery, a simple battery that you could find anywhere. I figured that would be best because when the battery stops functioning, you could just go out and buy a new one. So we don't have to do all be too complicated about that. The energy source is connected to the infrared button. But the infrared button works only via the chip and the subcomponent. To the switch, there is a switch between these. When the switch is pressed in, in this case, the switch is a button. When the button is pushed in, electric current goes through here. And immediately a bulb lights up, displaying to the user that something has happened. So the user won't be thinking, well, did the button be pressed? What happened? I press the button, but nothing's happening on the TV, so it's something wrong or something. So that's just to explain that, or to make it clearer to the user. Well, the signal goes via a chip that's translated into electronic signals, and then it's processed, and then it's sent to the infrared bulb, where it will be received on the receiving end. And thus interpreted by the device, well, in this case, the television. Well, my personal preference is, well, we have to keep it simple, not too many gadgets and functions. Just like you said, the most users, well, you have a lot of buttons, and you usually don't use them. So why should we invent spend more time on those. I think we should stick by with inside FM and no receiving, so no input from the television. So I think we shouldn't be spending time on teletext and things like that. Because when you want teletext on infrared, you'd have to build in a receiver too. And so in order to receive the signals from what's on TV and such. So I figured that would be spending too much money and time. And
yeah, maybe another problem. I think current TVs can't even send infrared.
Should we, I agree with you, but should we spend money and time on building a receiver into the remote control? Because that would be, I mean, extra components, extra designs, larger remote control.
Yeah.
These are all stuff that we have to take into account. But my personal opinion is no receiver at all. Well, we should look into the design and the functionality. Like I said, use one button, for instance, for multiple functions, or well, just hide a few buttons for switching it open or something. The usual use. And don't overbuild. We shouldn't make a big remote control for simple functions, but we should stick to the basics. And that was my my personal opinion. And that was my my presentation.
Okay, thank you, Janus. You do the last presentation. You have plenty of time. Tim and Janus don't talk for 10 minutes. Take your time. If you take your time too long, I will eventually warn you.
Well, I am going to give a presentation about some of the technical functions, these design and usability functions. What's my opinion about what's most important to combine the design, technical possibilities, and user friendliness in one? So if you go to design a remote that looks good, it shouldn't weigh over the if it's possible to make, of course, but also user friendliness. So that's some of the main points. And another one is the use of many functions will, well, make it more difficult. So use as little functions as possible, or at least don't display them all at once on the same remote. If you have 50 functions, you don't want 50 buttons to be shown at the same time. Because when you visit an internet site, you don't want 50 links to see, but maybe use a hierarchy structure. And well, one of the ideas was maybe use touchscreen. That's, I don't know, you know, how it's possible, since we're sticking to infrared. Cannot receive anything, but we might consider that. Well, of course, I hope this is all clear to you. If you can use a remote like this with all the functions and many functions, but well, your thumb is a little bigger than this. Then you have to be very careful what you push. And if you're looking for teletext, you'll be searching for half an hour from, well, where is it? Here, I guess, when you have to use something else. So just keep it simple, make clear buttons easy to use. For example, if you want to use play and back and stop, that's very important. Well, this was because of our last discussion. If multiple machines are used, we can easily switch between the machines, but it's no longer applying. I prefer to use it only for TV, and not to give too many options. And if possible, the buttons should give a direct action, not first select.
You just said you wanted to combine more functions in one.
Yeah.
So, you want to keep it simple, but I think that if you want to do that, then you can't escape the fact that there will be buttons which give more options than one.
Yes, so that's the thing you have to weigh against yourself. Do we want to use a few options and might not be so original or multi-purpose as we thought?
Okay.
Or do many buttons. So weighing those factors.
Jeroen, it's maybe an option if you use an LCD or a touchscreen, that in the middle are the main keys, like displayed on the something like that. Okay, just in the middle the general functions like play, channel switching, and then at the top or at the bottom some menus like settings or that you can drop down.
Another question I have, do we want to use a menu display on the TV or does have to everything be in remote? If you use a memory display on the TV, you can simply put a more menu and then select the options you want to have and press OK. So that's my recommendation. If you use many options in one button, display the menu on the TV, and use combination of two buttons at the same time, or pressing buttons 3 times for 5 seconds is too complicated for most users.
I think so too, but and that's partly because a lot of TVs have different menus, and when you have a particular menu at your device, it could be that don't correspond to the menu what's actually on TV.
Yeah, that will be a problem.
Yeah.
Well, you have to keep in mind that several TVs don't even have a menu structure, or they have a very simple menu structure. So you have to keep in mind that not all are not going to be able to work on all televisions.
Yes.
And that would be a considerable problem.
We have to stick with current technologies and. The restriction of what's on the market today.
Yeah.
You should keep it at this. Use big, clear buttons, not too many. So maybe we'll lose a few options, but I think this is more important. Especially the important buttons. If you want to switch channel, change your volume, use teletext. It has to work at once, and more advanced options maybe put it somewhere away on the remote behind
Something like a touchscreen could make more menu pop up or something.
Yeah, if you want to put TV on standby or change channel, that should always be possible to do, not force change menu options or switch shopping. As you already told, give some feedback.
Yeah.
If the user is pushing a button, you should know if the television or at least remote reacting and not just the batteries being low. And my conclusion is less is more, keep it simple. So maybe we should just ease down on the functionality to keep it accessible, and because you all know if there are a lot of functions on the television, some you will never know and never use.
Yeah.
And therefore it's important if you want to change the volume or the channel that is always accessible and easy, and other functions that are not so important, we should consider just not using them, or at least putting them somewhere on a remote where they're not in the way for the most important functions.
Yeah, I think the idea about touchscreen is very good. Because recently I saw a news item on TV about new telephones for elder people. They have like a touchscreen with really big pictures on it, like call, hang up. And that's a big advantage, I think, because on the one end, you make the remote control compatible for elder users just by scaling up the pictures or something. It's very visual intended. What was I to say more?
Maybe it's an option. Keep the primary buttons visible.
Yeah.
Make a remote that fits easily in the hand, and for some design issues, logo on it, and maybe use it in some emphatic aesthetic form. But the important buttons, make them always accessible and pushable and clear, and maybe use a touch screen, or if that's will become too difficult, just like some older telephones, use maybe it's possible to flip them open and just expand the number of options that are normally visible.
Yeah, okay, but if you pick the idea, the left idea, then what's going to be displayed on a touchscreen?
The extra functions.
Yeah, but like menu functions or
system functions or teletext functions, and you just choose one, and then
okay.
All the options will become available, and you just scroll through.
Wouldn't it be better to just make one big touchscreen?
Yeah, I think so.
One small touchscreen app, and then I'll just make let's say 15 buttons on it. And where three of those are actually just menus with sub-menus or sub-items.
Yeah.
Then I'd like to make a proposal. If you make one big touchscreen,
yes.
Use the same concept as here. Keep the buttons
yeah.
always available.
Yeah.
And use the lower part of the touchscreen for the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the iPod idea that we just saw. You just have a few selected buttons and a few menus, and with this idea you could actually make several. You can also improve later on.
Yes.
I think that would be better.
Okay. So you think it will be better to have a kind of total touchscreen?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I would actually go.
You don't? Okay, I agree, but I think it's very important that always make the same buttons accessible, so use just for special options part of the touchscreen.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And so an elder designer picks up the of an elder parent or grandparent picks up the remote from the little child, and who is all the system functions, you have to have the possibility to turn off the TV or to switch the channel without using all the menu structures to get back to the primary function.
Yeah, I had another idea about maybe parental control, like building in some kind of PIN code which allows parents to switch to all channels, but children, if children don't know the PIN code, they can switch to violent channels or just a simple login, something like that.
By remote, you set the channels.
Yeah.
The channels are different on each television. They
yeah.
set in a preset order. So if you lock on a remote, let's say channel 15,
mm-hmm.
well, channel 15 on this television is different than channel 15 on our.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be actually the main concern.
Well, I think that it means that maybe by some option, make sure that remote control and TV match. And then after that, you can use some inserts and passwords as being a parent that the children cannot use this. Change the settings of the TV, like color and volume. And
That kind of stuff. But maybe if you log in first as a parent, you address the channels.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's channel 15. That's a violent channel. My kids. I don't want my kids to watch.
Yeah.
Then you set the priority to only parents.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
For example.
But make it a separate option in the menu.
Yeah.
So that's.
Yeah. Okay. But. Yeah. That's just.
So,
that's an added future.
Okay. But let's not go too wide about those things.
Yeah. those things are nice.
Idea, but I think that's will later in the stage. I have one little question about a total touchscreen or
partial.
Partial. Because I think elderly people maybe are not used to a touchscreen, so they want the normal functions like teletext, volume changing, to be kind of traditional, and the other functions.
difficult functions to be maybe on the touchscreen, but to keep this as normal as possible, to keep it
accessible. But if you display it on an LCD screen with really big numbers,
yeah, you can display it on
that's just that just that easy.
Actual buttons on the
touchscreen. Yeah.
I do agree, because well, it's just not the same when you touch a touchscreen or when
yeah.
you touch a button.
Yeah, it's different.
We have to look at what's our target audience. We are aiming for younger people.
Yeah.
They chose
age below 40.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's probably.
Yeah.
And those young people, yeah, you saw it in my marketing report. They like the new fancy stuff. So. A touchscreen, like Microsoft already developed something like that for multimedia applications. I think we can do that too.
Yeah. Okay, as you can see, the minutes from the second meeting this one are
done.
I had a sort of a summary on what you tell and what you personal think, so that can be read out. A few things I noticed were meeting is, I think, how it's going to look. With we must keep it simple, but have the opportunity to have more options and have them hidden or something, so they don't. You don't have a big thing full of buttons or. And the point that you want to use one controller for. Hypothetically, each television, so you must the functions like the menus or the console control must be all by the done by the remote control and not by the television. I think that's the point. But
some of them, the menus are not identical for all TVs, so you have to display them on a TV.
Use when you how do you call it? Synchronized the remote and the TV.
Yeah, but that's not possible.
There are always possibilities to change the color and the brightness and the
mm-hmm.
volume.
Yeah.
And well, maybe you can look out if there's options that the remote in its memory can see what kind of TV it is. Well, it's a Philips, this and this and that, and then give the options that are capable.
Yeah,
capable
but
of
you have
that's an opportunity indeed.
Yeah, but you have an international market range, so you have.
Well, there
big
are universal remotes,
yeah.
And they all have functionality for all the TVs. So just
yeah,
be an extra
yeah.
feature to
but
incorporate the menus. Of
not too complex to do.
Well,
no.
They all have to be programmed to fit your TV,
yeah.
And that is a bit of a tricky job.
Yeah.
Actually, use one of those, but they are kind of troublesome. But the thing is, when you start. Building something like this, you have to build a receiver into the remote, because in order for the remote to process something from the TV,
yeah.
like to synchronize, then you have to send and receive,
mm-hmm.
and
well,
that's why.
No.
No, you can just.
He means just one other thing. With the current remote controls,
yeah.
the universal ones,
yeah.
You have to press.
Encodes.
Yeah, you have to press a code for a TV.
You look up, I have a Philips H55.
Yeah.
It says press code 455. And you press code 455 on the remote, and it displays all your menu options.
Oh, yeah, sure. That would be
yeah. yeah. Then we just connect the TV type to a set of
memory
options.
Just
in the memory. So that if you, yeah, like a profile. So that if you touch in like a 1410
yeah.
kind of TV, the memory pops up the options.
Yeah, that would be possible. Yeah, sure.
I don't think that's that takes a lot of storage space or something.
No, that would
just variables.
Yeah.
If you look at the manuals from Universal remotes, there are maybe 300-400 TVs.
Yeah.
At maximum, if you have all of them, all the old and new TVs summed up, so I think it is possible.
Yeah, it is.
But on the other hand, on the other hand, if you have a remote and you buy a new TV that isn't incorporated in the remote.
Well, then you have to buy a new one, it's very good for market.
New remote?
Maybe, or an update, software
update. A firmware upgrade or something. But from where? Maybe.
That's maybe the cup holder.
Maybe we can incorporate some kind of USB or FireWire connection. So that you can connect it to the PC and download the newest firmware from the internet.
Well, not everybody has a PC at home. Well, the most people have, but not everybody.
You can go back to the shop. And
kind of service center.
Yeah, maybe something like
that. Yeah.
You can download it for you.
Or you could actually look at the placeholder you talked about earlier, and you could probably make a connection to a telephone line or
already
connection.
Digital information is sent to the standard TV connections. You can see what program is on the new channel, so maybe we can send that information along with standard TV.
Well, then you'd be back to the
receiving.
Building and receiving. If it's actually worth it to build it in, we could actually look into it. But I don't know, it would be bringing more costs with it. And
I think it's most cheap or cheapest to just do the updates at the service center or at the shop. It's not a lot of work, just one docking station where you put it in, press start, bling bling, update it.
Yeah, that would be best.
Yeah. You don't buy a TV every week.
No,
new TV.
No.
So let's vote.
That one, or
my vote goes out to the right.
Your vote?
My vote too.
Yeah.
And your vote?
Well, I was doubting about which one to take, but it convinced me that if you just display buttons about the same as they would look on a normal emote, or elderly people will know what to do.
And also like a clapping like a device that pops open. Not too difficult. Maybe it's easier to break it.
Yeah.
That it.
It's very sensitive.
Yeah. Like my telephone, it's sensitive too.
Okay. Well, it's almost at the end. We have now a lunch break. It's back to individual work. Once again, 30 minutes. I will put my minutes. I have updated them, so they're updated in the shared folder too.
30 minutes?
30 minutes.
How minutes?
The specific instructions for the next meeting you all will receive at the email. I don't think I can say much about it, so wait for your email and hopefully you get it done in the 30 minutes, and we'll see you after the lunch break in the 30 minutes.
One question.
Yeah.
How late do we have to get back? Be back here?
Well, 30 minutes.
30 minutes lunch break?
30 minutes lunch break, yeah.
Okay. I thought 45. Yeah.
Well, then would it be 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Well, we
okay.
Ask our personal coach.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. It was a very good session, I think.
Is it possible to store this
on
shared
documents?
Well.
Save as?
Yeah, because all things are stored in SmartBoard.
Yeah, but you can open that from your laptop.
Save it as an image.
Yeah, maybe save as. No.
Export.
Export. HTML. Image?
JPEG.
JPEG.
JPEG. Yeah, it's better.
Paper size A4. No, screen size. And this.
Yeah.
Directory.
Oh. Oh yeah, it's not connected to the
to
our PCs.
No?
Again about the DF to work.
Yeah, it is connected.
It's connected?
Yeah. I think so.
Desk. Hmm. No.
Just save my documents.
What?
Yeah, AMI on AMI on Messenger.
Yeah. Project documents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you give the name?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
The questionnaire filling with fill out after lunch.
Well, it's simply filling. Oh no, it's also filling out.
No, you do it after lunch.
I'm hungry, so I do it after lunch.
Yes.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can you leave PC on that thing?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, I bring it to my personal room.
To my executive.
My executive big room, like
a big office.
Ja. Oké. Okay.